right. Good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Sean Sayer here with you this morning on a snowy December 5th. It's you're waking up to about 4 inches of snow out there if you haven't looked already. There's definitely a good coating. The roads are in okay condition, I'd say. Main roads are definitely workable, and you know, your secondary, your little neighborhood roads might be a little snowy, but they're not bad. Sounds like we are going to get some more weather during the day today, though, and we'll talk about that as the show goes on this morning. We are live this morning. We did manage to open up and come into the studio, and we definitely appreciate all of our listeners for sticking with us here this morning. Was expecting Superintendent Joseph Curtis to be on the show. He is going to be a bit delayed with everything going on with the schools. As you heard, also all Pittsfield Public Schools are closed today. That was the big news this morning. So I'm sure Superintendent Curtis is busy running around taking care of a bunch of stuff. And we hope that he will be in somewhere around the mid part of the show. We'll talk to him. In the meantime, we have the regular host of Morning Drive, Bill Sturgeon, actually going to be jumping in for the first half of the show. We'll talk to him about all kinds of stuff going on here in the city and around, and looking forward to that conversation as well. First, let's get to the weather forecast. I'm sure everybody wants to hear what the National Weather Service has in store for us. You probably heard about more snow and more wind, so let's hear about that right now. Here we go.
Berkshire weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Winter weather advisory in effect until 1 p.m. EST this afternoon. Wind advisory in effect until 10 p.m. EST this evening. Today, snow this morning, then snow showers likely this afternoon. Areas of blowing snow. Snow accumulation of 2 to 4 inches. Blustery with highs in the mid-30s. Temperature falling to around 30 this afternoon. Southwest wind 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts up to 35 miles per hour, becoming west 15 to 25 miles per hour with gusts up to 45 miles per hour this afternoon. Chance of snow 80%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Yeah, so you heard it right there, 40 to 50 mile per hour gusts. That's nothing to mess around with, so definitely if you got anything in your yard, I know a lot of people have holiday decorations out there. If you don't have anything kind of bolted down, you might want to do that before that kicks up. It's going to be a little crazy there for a while, but we'll see how it goes. Again, welcome to Morning Drive here, 89.7 WTBR-FM. And joining us this morning by Zoom, Bill Sturgeon. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
I'm great, Sean. How are you doing? And, you know, kudos to all those parents who all of a sudden it's a surprise, school's closed. But, you know, I was just reminiscing a couple of superintendents, maybe more back, when they come under a heavy fire for, you know, this school, Mount Greylock wasn't closed and that one wasn't closed. I think what we always have to put in the back of our minds is we have a lot of kids who walk to school.
Yeah, especially in the city of Pittsfield.
That, yes, yeah, more so than some of the other districts.
Yeah,
and so I applaud Superintendent Curtis for doing this, because right now it's the first storm too. Everybody's got to get their skates sharpened for the first storm.
Yeah, for sure, right? It's it gets a little hairy, and you know, I think we forget how to drive in the snow, although, yes, you know, already by today, we've already had a couple of snow events here, so we're kind of warmed up to it already. But, you know, you don't want to get overconfident. You want to give yourself plenty of room in front of the car that you're traveling with, you know, that or whoever's in front of you. I think that's one of the biggest problems. It's not so much what you're going to do in your car, but it's what other drivers are doing around you that you have to sort of be mindful of, you know, and the car certainly isn't going to stop quite as quickly as it does. It's just, you know, normal weather, you know, driving that we kind of take for granted maybe in the middle of the end of the winter. At the beginning of the year, it's hard to remember what it was like. I think that's the big problem.
You know, one of the things too, well, before I forget, because, you know, at my age, and I'm not sure who you are, but you look familiar. I want to thank Alan Harris, but also everybody who gave whatever they could to our annual fundraiser. Yeah. I mean, we matched our goal, surpassed our goal, but more importantly to me, not to you, but to me, is the number of people who listen and care about WTBR.
Yeah, that was really heartwarming. It was a long day, and actually my voice is finally recovered, as you can tell, from being on all day. It definitely takes its toll, but worth it for sure. And knowing that all the people who listen on a regular basis jumped in and took care of us and said, you know, we want this station to survive and thrive for another year. That made a huge difference, and making the goal was kind of icing on the cake, you know, for sure.
Yeah, and the number of people, and that you know, each year that grows. I've said this before. My Irish mother used to have a saying: "Ill wind blows some good fate." Well, the ill wind was COVID. And the good fate that come out of it was we became recognized as the go-to stations, TV and radio, to find out about COVID. And that's a tribute to everybody connected with WTBR and PCTV.
Yeah, those, I'll tell you, that came up many times as we were talking at the Radiothon about how a community radio station like this, like WTBR, has a very important place in the community to be able to, you know, connect people and make sure you get the information that you need out there and just to be on and be consistent and be, you know, a regular resource. I think that's very important. And, you know, I'm heartened by the support that we get for this station. And I look at what else is going on in the radio industry. And I know probably people out there in their daily lives don't pay attention to it like we do. But we, you know, keep an eye on what's going on. And boy, there have been huge layoffs at the big corporate radio stations, you know, iHeart Radio, Cumulus Radio. There's Odyssey is another one. Those are the big companies that own lots and lots of radio stations. And I just heard another one a couple days ago, which was kind of sad, which was Stephen King, the author up in Maine.
Yes.
He owned three radio stations up there. And he did it kind of as a passion project, you know. He just loved the music. He loved the idea of local radio. And he's getting up there in age as well. And I think he said he had a conversation with his wife about, you know, sort of tying up some loose ends. And the radio stations weren't making any money. They were commercial radio stations.
Yeah.
And he just said, I can't keep them anymore. So he decided to shut them down. So they're closing down at the end of this month. And so the more I hear that, you know, I think, well, that's even more important to keep something like WTBR up and going and thriving here, because, you know, it's it could be lost just like that, and that's where you need to keep the support rolling in.
It almost was.
Yeah, I know. Right? Yeah,
it was that. It was when we all got involved. The Dr. McCandless, Mr. Curtis, Kathy Yan, the school committee at that time, Sean, Peter Marchetti, Peter White. To do our best to save it. And I think now some of the naysayers have said, oh, we were wrong, because this really is a valuable asset to the community.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And obviously their efforts paid off in the long term. And the nice thing about that is we're coming up on another anniversary, believe it or not, and we just started to talk about that. We will be having an anniversary show. And we've got that tentatively scheduled for that first week of January, right after New Year's. So stay tuned for that. We'll have our star-studded show and get the old gang back together and talk about the old days.
Yeah.
But that's already, what, 6 years? 6 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you believe it?
So
I mean, I can't believe that time has gone by so fast. And it's amazing, even when, I'm sure you see it too, when we're out, I'll be talking to Roseanne or something, and somebody will say, are you the guy on the radio? You know, they recognize your voice. And I just had it twice at the book fair at the Athenaeum. I love, oh, and by the way, we'll announce it, but keep your eyes open for the next book fair. They are phenomenal. The Pittsfield Athenaeum, for people over 50, we used to call it the library, but now we're highfalutin. Well, you know, or an Athenaeum, whatever that is.
And that's the Friends of the Athenaeum that runs that book sale every year, right? And it's, I think there's a couple of those per year that they do a great job there.
Four. They do four now.
Wow.
Yeah, spring, fall, winter, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. But it's worth it. They have they have albums, they have DVDs, they have CDs on books, they have CD music. They have wonderful children's section. So, but you know, Sean, when you think back, when we jumped into this pool, we were a little naive. When people say, "Well, how long do you think you'll be off the air?" At most a couple weeks. Yeah. Well, we missed that target.
It's a little harder than that, and that's one of the things that we again talked about during the radiothon was, you know, what goes on behind the scenes to keep a radio station like this running. Sometimes it's straightforward and sometimes it's complicated. And there are a lot of little things that go into making everything work right. You know, yeah. You may not see it. A couple days ago, we had this audio board opened up and we were adjusting things and, you know, reconnecting things. It happens, you know, to keep it consistent and to keep it working and on the air. It's an old board and you know, but we keep it going, and that's what we have to do. That's what a small community radio station does.
That's like their morning drive host.
Right.
He's an old board, but they keep him going.
You got to open up the lid once in a while and
tinker around. Me, I'll tell you open up this lid, you're not going to find much. But I really in the people that are on air now, some of the programs are so spectacular.
Yeah, and more being added all the time. There are people always proposing new shows here, and they're learning the craft of radio. They're bringing their passion to the community, whether that's music or talk, different kinds of music, comedy,
bilingual,
right? Multiple languages. So it's pretty interesting. And again, it serves multiple different constituencies here in the community, and that's what we love about it. There's a little something for everyone. I know a lot of people love to hear the wide variety of rock and roll music that we play through our regular program, and that's you know, it's not your typical classic rock station. You're going to tune in and hear things that you haven't heard in a long time, so we're kind of proud of that as well. So,
yeah.
Well, we're here on Morning Drive this morning, 89.7 WTBR-FM, and if you're just tuning in, we will eventually today be speaking with Superintendent Joe Curtis, who was delayed a little bit getting here today with all the things going on with the schools. Obviously, schools closed today, but again, and we'll talk to him about that and the time he'll have for us today. When a day like that happens with them, it's not like everything shuts down either, right? I mean, certainly the students and the teachers don't come into the buildings, but it doesn't mean that there aren't a lot of things to do to make sure that the schools are okay on days like this. Go ahead, Bill. You were about to say.
Yeah, and again, I really think of the kiddos, because I had to walk to school. You know, I live close enough to North Junior High. I live with St. Charles. And you know, I think back on those days, and I was fortunate. I had the snow boots. I had the coat. I had all that stuff. A lot of our kiddos don't have, and, you know, I remember a story from last winter. And I'm not going to say what school or whatever, but some kids showed up, and I'm very three or four of the teachers went out to one of the, you know, Walmart or somewhere, Target, and bought coats and brought them back to the kiddos. I mean, I guess I'm on my thing. Let's not be so quick to judge everybody. God, you know, I mean, you want to be in Mr. Curtis's shoes? You're nuts. No, sorry.
Well, you know, it's...
I told him don't get it.
It's a huge responsibility, right, for every superintendent, and I think that's one of the reasons why a lot of times you don't see superintendents last a long time. It's a heck of a job.
Yeah.
And, you know, people talk about what it pays or whatever. probably doesn't pay enough compared to the number of hours that they put in and the amount of responsibility on their shoulders. It is just a monumental job.
And, you know, I think back quickly when the station was at the old Taconic. One day, I the head custodian there, Mr. Drury, he's a wonderful guy. They're all wonderful. They keep that place spotless.
Yeah.
But I said, so school's closed, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, he said the superintendent was here at 5 o'clock driving around checking the that was Dr. McCandless. Again, there's so many behind the scenes, but everybody's quick to jump, you know. Wow. And I just think it's time. Let's chill.
Well, and they have to make those calls very early in the morning. And when I was checking Facebook and text messages and everything, when I woke up this morning, obviously to come and prepare and, you know, clean off my car and get here as quickly as I could for this morning show, I realized that, you know, the call for closing school had already been made. And so that means, yeah, he was out. He wanted to see what the conditions were. He's looking at the sidewalks. I'm sure he'll tell us that when he comes in a little bit. There's a good number of hours and time, you know, well before anybody else is awake. And then they wake up, most people, and they look and they say, okay, what's the status of school? Are we going today or are we not? Yeah. You know, what are we making for plans? And, you know, families do have to make plans for things like that. You know, they have to have a certain amount of time to say, okay, I still got to go to work. My kids are going to be home, or are they going to go with family? Are they going to have to find a daycare, a babysitter? What are we going to do? You know, depending on the age of the kids. So there's a lot of decisions that have to be made in a very short period of time when the weather is like this and school gets canceled.
And you know, I think all in all, we're heading into the holiday seasons, you know, Hanukkah and Christmas and the New Year and all that. And, you know, I guess my wish for the New Year is that let's just chill out a little bit. You know, I mean, everybody's wound tighter than a $2 watch. And, I mean, I saw that. My wife and I, the Polish princess, we went out yesterday. And, I mean, you ready for this? I'm going down by just before Teo's, and a guy blows his horn. I'm doing the speed limit, and passes me, going like the hammer of the Hades, right? And blows through the red light. It was like, where are you going, dude? What's that important?
Yeah, you have to wonder, right? What's important enough to you know, potentially cause a traffic incident.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's because you don't know. Again, we just talked about what it's like when you're out on the roads with the snow.
Yeah.
You also don't know how people are going to react in situations like that. You got somebody blowing past you. You don't know, is the car in front going to, you know, panic and turn or hit the brakes or whatever? Yeah.
Well, that, you know, and the other people, only because I just glanced over my father's old firefighter hat. Call them firemen. Firefighters. I'd like to Chief Sammons and to all the firefighters and police officers that are they're out no matter what the weather is. That alarm goes off in that fire station. And that was one of the, my father wanted me to be a firefighter. And I said, Dad, you know how I hate getting up anyhow. I would really hate getting up on a freezing cold night and have to go out. That's up to braver people than me. But I mean it sincerely. The EMS, all these people who respond to our calls, thank you for all that you do for us, even on the nice days and the bad days.
Yeah, I think, you know, the first responders are a very special group. They answer the call when it comes to stuff like that, and they, you know, that is the gig, right? I think I want to wrap into that also. There was a great story in the Eagle this morning, very apropos this morning with all the snow that's falling, talking about, you know, how things are taken care of on the road and getting contract plows and you know, how much road salt they have to order. And the last few winters have been interesting. The Eagle, you know, talks about, in the last like 5 years, we've gotten an average of like 32 or something inches of snow, which is way below what our average was historically. Historically, yeah. We were more like in the mid-70s of snow, you know, inches per season. And then this season, you look at it, and suddenly already we've had, you know, three events in the late November, early December, which makes you think, okay, maybe this winter isn't going to be like those five winters. Maybe we see something different this year. But they said they actually have trouble finding enough plow contractors and people to do it, because a lot of the people over the last 5 years have not been able to make a living doing it, right? They've had more costs keeping their equipment working and, you know, buying equipment or whatever than they made by going out and plowing. So that, you know, if the city can't find enough people to keep the roads clean, that's going to be a problem.
Yeah. And I think we also should take a moment and back off to poor DPW or whatever they call it now. I don't know. They got 27 new names. But, you know, they're out there plowing. They're out there in the middle of the night. They're leaving their families. I'll never forget, I was in a diner one time, and a guy came in that I knew. He worked for the city. And I said, how's it going? He goes, it's been a horrible winter. He said, you know, I barely get enough sleep, and then I'm not with the family. And it was a winter, we had storm after storm. And, you know, I never forgot that. But, you know, yeah, people say, wow, look at all the money they're making. Well, you know what? Sometimes money isn't worth it. You know, I mean, I had mandatory overtime years ago, and you get exhausted. But the men and the women of city service in general, from the clerk's office to the mayor's office to upstairs to the VA rep, our city has a pretty strong core.
Mm-hmm.
That's my true belief. And I've lived all over the world, and I can tell you, you can walk into the city clerk's office, and if you need something, they have it. And if they don't have it, they can point you in the right direction.
Yeah, and, you know, overtime is great when you get the check. But when was the last time anybody here listening had to work 12 straight hours or 16 straight hours doing something like that? And, you know, it's careful work, too, right? We know, it's easy to, you know, damage things with those plows. They're huge. Here you are, you know, trying to plow around things that you can't see. If they don't have the reflectors or whatever to sort of indicate where the corners are, things like that, yeah, you know, things can happen. That's a lot of time doing something, you know, straight through. And when it comes to big, long storms like this, where, you know, the imperative is to keep the roads clean and clear and safe for people, that is the only thing that matters at that point.
You know, when I used to drive to the station, one morning, when it was bad, I would always leave early because you never know what was going to happen, right? And who's checking out Federico Drive? Vinny Barbarotta, the city that, I don't know his official title. Vinny, he said, I've been out since about 4:30 checking things. I mean, people don't realize, I'm not going to say it, but they're quick to criticize without knowing all the facts.
Yep, and, you know, those are things a lot of times that we just take for granted, right? That we get out of our house, get in our car, and drive somewhere and expect the roads to be perfectly clear and bare and drivable in any condition. Yeah. And, you know, there were a couple years ago, we had that Christmas Eve storm, if you remember, 23rd, 24th, somewhere around that, where the conditions were just impossible. It was hard to keep up with. You had the really wet conditions that then froze over and then got snow. And it's just, you know, so not always can things be 100% perfect. And that means that people also have to take a little bit of responsibility for themselves and knowing that, hey, if you know, the conditions are going to be like that, give yourself a little extra time, you know, give yourself 15 minutes. Don't give yourself a half an hour extra. Do something, you know, don't be riding somebody else's bumper the entire way. Just know that you'll get there safe.
And why jeopardize your life and somebody else's?
Right.
To save what, 5 minutes? You know, in the big scheme of things, there's much.
Yeah.
So But, you know, again, I just, before I thank you, all the people, because I had some people who said, well, I wish I could have given more. You gave. That was the important part. You gave. And thank you for that. We all wish we maybe could give more, but the people who stepped up to the plate, thank you, Alan Harris. He gave $5,000. Thank you.
Yeah. That was huge. Absolutely huge.
Yeah, yeah. And but if you're the person who's on a fixed income, listens to the station and sends in 10 bucks, that's huge.
That's
too.
Huge, too. You're absolutely right. Yep. And we appreciate each and every donor who gave to our radio station during the one-day fund drive that we have every year, usually in November. And, you know, we're not in the position to be able to do a weeks-long event or 2 weeks long. You know, we're not going to be making millions of dollars on our fund drive. We're going to be making thousands of dollars. Every one of those dollars does contribute to keeping the station on the air. And we're very thankful for our listeners for being there for us. And we're here on a day like this, being there for you. We definitely appreciate you sticking around for us. It's Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR FM on a snowy Thursday morning. We're talking with the regular host from Morning Drive here, Bill Sturgeon, joining us graciously by Zoom this morning as we await the superintendent to show up. And we give him a lot of latitude this morning as things are, you know, a little different. Not exactly a perfect, easy morning out there. Lots of things going on in the city when you get a snowstorm like this. And it'll be, I'll tell you what, it'll make tomorrow night's tree lighting ceremony probably quite beautiful. And
yeah.
I will say that will be live on PCTV tomorrow night at 6 p.m. So you can tune into channel 1301 on cable TV if you'd like, or you can download the PCTV Select app, which is a nice, easy way of streaming our events. And you can watch that either on your Roku or your Fire TV device, or also your iPhone or your Android cellular phone. You can check that out. And also, I think we'll be carrying that on Facebook as well. So if you happen to be searching around on Facebook, you can tune into the holiday Christmas tree lighting. I believe we're going to be going on a bit before 6. So you can tune in maybe late in the 5 o'clock hour there, because things start to go before, you know, we have some people gathering. And I don't know if the tree will be lit this year when we get there or not. I know it was last year, and it's they've made a big change over the years. They've planted a permanent Christmas tree on Park Square. And last year was the first year that they lit that tree instead of bringing in a cut tree. So that a new tradition, I guess you would say, here in Pittsfield. What do you think of that, Bill?
Well, I think kids will grow up with that.
Yeah.
That as they grow, that tree will grow. I personally think it's a great idea. I just will throw this quickly. I know we got to go to break.
Yeah.
I watched the beginning of the tree from West Stockbridge in Rockefeller Center last night.
Yeah. And that's the tree from West Stockbridge, right?
I forgot how many tons they said it was.
Huh.
I couldn't believe it.
It was 74 feet tall, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, and they said from West Stockbridge, Massachusetts. So there you go. And it was a beautiful tree. Mm. Oh, my God, what a beautiful tree.
Yeah. And it was fun. I guess Berkshire native Matt Cusson was also one of the entertainers there, I heard. He was playing piano behind one of the two singers that were there about midway through the show. So you could kind of see Matt Cusson there. That was kind of cool, too.
Yeah, and Matt's he's a great entertainer. There's a thing coming up, I think, in Balderdash, coming up in next week or the week after. Michael Fabrizio's coming in from Nashville to do his show.
Ah.
So, you know, we have a lot of talented people here.
Absolutely. And people that have gone on to be talented in other areas and other places. A lot to be proud of, for sure. And then I guess I'll mention, as we're getting close to the top of the hour here, this is 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield. You're listening to Morning Drive here on Pittsfield Community Radio. We're talking with Bill Sturgeon, the regular host of the show, who graciously jumped in and zoomed in for us to talk for the first half hour as we await Joe Curtis, the superintendent of the Pittsfield Public Schools, to chat with him a little bit about middle school and grade reorientation. There's a lot going on with that that we will be speaking with him about and trying to get the word out about that. We're about, sounds like, midway through the process of getting the school committee all the information they need to make a decision on that, and it's no easy matter as well. It's a complicated issue for sure we'll be dealing with. The other thing, Bill, we've got coming up as a veterans program here on PCTV would be the Pearl Harbor ceremony. That's going to be this Saturday, isn't it?
Yep, December 7th, right down there on South Street. I will say this, dress warm.
Yeah.
I have made the error of going down there with a sweater and jacket only to turn into an icicle when that wind blew up West Street.
Oof.
But seriously, it's wonderful that we remember these times and these days. You know, history gets so distorted now, I think, that it's good for people to know December 7th, 1941, the Japanese Empire nation attacked Pearl Harbor. I used to do, this is how long I've been doing radio, I used to do a show with Pearl Harbor veterans, the Battle of the Bulge right after Christmas. Veterans, they're gone. And so I think it's wonderful that the veterans groups don't forget and that are out there doing it. And PCTV is there.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, I would recommend to anyone who wants to watch a good series on the efforts of World War II, we just finished watching Masters of the Air, which is actually on Apple TV. If anybody has that, I would highly recommend it. I think it's a 9-part series. It's really like 9 separate movies. It's so well done. It's executive produced by Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg, and so everything you would expect from the two of them, you definitely get a very high quality program. So if you want to check it out, it really gives you a lot of appreciation for what some of these guys did. It's all about the airmen from maybe about 1943 through the end of the war. Pretty interesting.
I had my former landlord was a tail gunner in a B-17 and flew well 4 or 5 missions over the mandatory, I don't remember, he never talked about it, and I had his Bill, and his name escapes me now. He took pictures of all the veterans, and his name was Ron Kane, and Ron agreed, his wife made him, we know how that is, agreed to have his picture taken, because these guys came home and went back to work.
Yeah.
I applaud them. They were the greatest generation.
And they came home and they were productive too, right? I mean, that's the other thing that they did. They started businesses and they got social clubs going and they gave back to their community and they were very industrious. I think that's probably the best way you could describe that whole generation. They all pulled together and made it what it was, out of a bad situation and probably the worst situation that the world had ever experienced.
Yeah, and at that point, and we just did, I am so proud of, I did an interview with Tony Salentino, who on November 27th turned 102 years old.
That's great.
He was in World War II. And I have to tell you, he's an inspiration to people who are in their 70s and think they're old. He's 102 and does more than I do. But he's got me starting to behave myself and, do some exercises. I used to think driving by Nautilus counted. It doesn't. And so I drove by the other place there, and I went home and took a nap. But
everybody wants to know what the secret is, right? You make it to 102 and you look that good and you're healthy and you're enjoying life. What's the secret?
He came home. He went to Boston. He college. He became a graphic artist. Mm. He came back and went to work for the GE Ordnance, and I got he worked there. And he's got a beautiful family too, and I think that's a lot of it. You know, your family, your life, your associates.
Mm-hmm.
If you hang around with negative people all the time, pretty soon you're negative.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you're listening to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR FM. Yeah. Nothing negative here this morning, talking to Bill Sturgeon on the show. And we are live here this morning. We appreciate Bill jumping in and as we await the arrival of Superintendent Curtis. We're hoping to see him here in a bit. And we see that he is on his way, so we'll definitely have that. Let's take a little short break here. We always do thank our underwriters and send a couple of important messages here at the top of the hour. So, Bill, stick around just for a bit, and we'll be right back after this. This is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM. The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
Missed an episode of your favorite show? Have no fear, because we have podcasts. Type in WTBRFM.com/podcast on your favorite browser and search for your favorite show. It's that simple.
PCTV Select is a great way to watch local content without having a cable subscription. You can keep up with the latest of what's going on in your community from anywhere in the world. And it's available for free right now. Watch live events in full HD on your TV, on your computer, or on the go with your mobile device. Or watch our large library of on-demand video programs anytime that's convenient for you. No more waiting until it's on TV. Did we mention it's free? PCTV Select is everywhere you need to be.
Have you lost a loved one to suicide? Berkshire Coalition for Suicide Prevention wants you to know that you are not alone in your grief. There are two meetings a month of the Suicide Loss Survivors Group, one on Zoom and one in person. Go to berkshirecoalition.org for more details. You are not alone.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Hey, this is Mike Pezzo. Remember those tunes your parents told you to turn down? Better yet, remember those tunes your grandparents told your parents to turn down? Well, on Mike's Amazing Music and Oldies show, you'll hear sometimes oldies, sometimes blues, sometimes local performers, and a lot of rock on Berkshire County's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, Thursdays at noon. Tune in and be entertained and educated.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is Community. And UCP of Western Mass. Turn passion into purpose when you apply at UCP of Western Mass, now offering full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. It's more than just a job, it's our identity. Apply today at ucpwma.org/jobs.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Welcome back to the program. It's Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Sean Sayre here with you on a snowy Thursday morning, Thursday, December 5th. And we are here in the studio, live and local. And we have just seen the arrival of Superintendent Curtis. Thank you so much for being here. We still do a quick weather, let Superintendent get settled in. And Bill Sturgeon, I want to say thank you for sticking around here for us this morning and helping fill in. And we will be, obviously, I think you've got a couple of shows you're recording today for air next week. So we're looking forward to hearing those.
Well, you extend my sincere gratitude to to Superintendent Curtis, and thank you for having me on, Sean, and we'll catch up.
Absolutely. Thanks, Bill. We always appreciate it. Have a great day.
You too. Stay out of the hot sun.
All right. Boy. So let's do that quick weather forecast. I know everybody's waking up to the snowy morning. You want to know what's happening today. Let's hear what the National Weather Service has in store.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Winter weather advisory in effect until 1 p.m. EST this afternoon. Wind advisory in effect until 10 p.m. EST this evening. Today, snow this morning, then snow showers likely this afternoon. Areas of blowing snow. Snow accumulation of 2 to 4 inches. Blustery with highs in the mid-30s. Temperature falling to around 30 this afternoon. Southwest wind 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts up to 35 miles per hour, becoming west 15 to 25 miles per hour with gusts up to 45 miles per hour this afternoon. Chance of snow 80%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Right, and we heard 2 to 4, and you've got easily that on the ground right now, and probably more like 4 to 6. Superintendent Curtis is here. Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Good morning. I'm sorry I'm late. I had written an email yesterday to Sean saying, the likelihood of a snow day was there, and you never quite know what will happen in the morning.
Right.
So I'm in my snow day outfit, sporting my Pittsfield High Generals
I love it.
Sweatshirt.
Perfect.
But yes, but thank you, and thank you for filling in, Mr. Sturgeon, until I got here.
Yeah, that was great. And we had a good conversation about just about anything.
Yes.
We did touch on the schools a little bit. We talked about plowing and all kinds of other things. But on a day like this, what goes into that decision making?
Well, I'm always up very early in the morning, about 3:30. But on snow days or days that we have weather and precipitation, I start driving the city along with Colleen O'Brien, our bus operations director. And then we're in instant communication with Vinnie Barbarotta from the highways and Eddie Casella. And they really do heroes work. So we're all out within the city driving all areas. And it's really, I was saying last night at the school committee that, you can be on the west side of the city and be on the south side of the city. Mm. And the weather and the amounts can be completely different.
Wow.
And that was true today. So, we all agreed, because even with a delay, a two-hour delay, our secondary students start to board buses at about 8 o'clock in the morning. And so we all felt that by 8 o'clock we could not have the roads cleared, and certainly the sidewalks with all of our walkers. And, as you know, we have –
sometimes the sidewalks don't get cleaned off for another 24 hours, right?
And, we have very young students that walk to school, roughly about 2,200 students. Mm. But a lot of those students also ride in cars. So we have more car ridership than certainly my time as a teacher nearly three decades ago. So all of those things have to be taken into consideration. So in the end, we started off with the possibility of a two-hour delay, but just through consensus, all agreed that it wouldn't be safe by 8 o'clock.
And what time does this decision-making happen? Because that was one of the things Bill and I were talking about in the first half.
The decision really has to be made solidly by 5:15. And then we start getting notifications out by 5:45 at the latest.
Yeah, I think I saw it at 5:30 this morning.
Yeah. So, we have students that are waiting at bus stops just a little bit after 6 o'clock. And so often it's very difficult to make a call that early for the whole day.
Right.
But we must. And getting word out to staff. We have staff that travel, from New York, or we even have a staff member that travels from Worcester. So we have to get that word out early.
Yeah. Yep. And a lot of things to consider, all the walkers, all the staff, road conditions. And then, like you said, later on in the day, today, for instance, it's pretty obvious that it's snowing and it's going to snow, and you've already had a certain amount on the ground. There are other days, I'll bet, where nothing has happened, but it's going to, and it's going to hit like in the middle of the day. So now that's going to affect your afternoon drive and getting people home safely.
Well, and that I appreciate you bringing that up, because, The weather patterns and the constantly evolving and changing weather is like never before. I mean, we often, when we call snow days, you'll see comments on social media. When I was young, we walked to school in 2 feet of snow and
uphill
and,
both ways.
Yeah. And, you know, but really ensuring, because we've made some really close calls in the past and then have had heavy afternoon snow squalls during dismissal time. And those have become rather hairy to navigate. So, you know, you really do have to think about the entire day.
Yeah.
And, you know, I use NOAA and AccuWeather as a forecasting tool. But I've noticed in recent years those change sometimes in minutes.
Oh, yeah.
So what was predicted at 6 a.m. changes at 6:15.
Right.
And, you know, it's all very interesting. Those large blizzards that we used to have when I was a kid, at least, those don't really happen so much. It's more like this weather that's very hard to call and predict.
Yeah. Tricky, tricky business for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR FM. Superintendent Joseph Curtis here from the Pittsfield Public Schools. And we actually wanted to talk about middle school realignment, so we do have a little time, and let's hit that, because this is well underway now and in full swing in terms of analyzing the effects of changing things around. So maybe just set the table for us here. What's happening and how do we get started on this process?
Well, you know, as you know, we began well over a year ago really studying the structure of our school system, which hasn't changed in decades. You know, we have 8 elementary schools, we have 2 middle schools and 2 high schools. Mm-hmm. And so as part of a larger study to really analyze the feasibility of building a new school on the west side, a new elementary school, we really wanted to look at the entire district and its structure. And so, you know, there's been many different scenarios that have been, you know, projected out in public. We've had many community meetings. And so there are so many community members that feel that the middle school decision has been already been made. And I want to reassure everyone that we have a really substantial committee, a middle school restructuring committee of a large amount of parents mm-hmm. and staff. And they are working diligently as we speak. In fact, our next meeting is on Monday. To make a recommendation to the school committee in late January, very early February, in relation to grade span recommendations, educational programming. And then we actually have a third group within that committee that is focusing on surveys, focus groups, and just community outreach. Mm. And they have finalized a set of surveys for parents, guardians, students and staff, and just community members in general, and we'll be releasing those this weekend.
Okay. So keep an eye out in your email inbox and
social media. We'll have it posted on. Mm-hmm. We'll have it on our website, www.pittsfield.net. Mm. But ultimately, that committee, not myself, will be making a public recommendation to the school committee, and then the school committee will have the opportunity to deliberate. They will have a series of public hearings mm-hmm. that will be well advertised mm-hmm. for parents and guardians and community members to give their input. And then ultimately they will make a decision on grade spans according to our policy. So mm-hmm. the decision has not been made in any way. Mm-hmm. Many people have asked me, you know, how do you feel the decision will go? Mm-hmm. And I have no idea. Mm-hmm. The committee members are working diligently as we speak and studying and researching grade spans that have been used across the Commonwealth, mm-hmm. Educational programming that's been used across the Commonwealth and beyond. So they're doing that research as we speak, and we'll hopefully have a recommendation in that mm-hmm. late January timeline.
Well, it sounds like the process sounds to me like it's very data-driven, right?
Yes.
That you're looking for a lot of data points, including how the community feels about it as well, and that's what the surveys are going to feed in. But what are some of the other things that are discussed in the committee when they're trying to navigate which way to go? And then tell us a couple of the possibilities of which way this could go.
Well, the committee, as committee members, and their names are public, mm-hmm. And on our website, you know, they have already started to receive some feedback, mm-hmm. and the feedback has varied widely. Mm-hmm. From anywhere from we need change desperately in our middle schools to we would like to keep it exactly the same.
Interesting.
And so, you know, they feel confident, though, and I asked them at our last meeting that they, because they are doing so much research, they're going on publicly available information across the state and looking at grade spans, looking at their success rate academically, discipline-wise, with attendance, and then they're looking at educational models that have brought success to different school districts.
Okay. And how many other school districts around the how common is it, I guess, to have a model like we have now, which is sort of an elementary base up to about fifth grade, a middle school, 6 to 8, and then 4 years of high school? Is that pretty common still? Or
it is pretty common, but you'll see they have a large spreadsheet, actually, and grade spans vary so widely per community. And, you know, they've made those decisions for their unique circumstances, such as the physical plants they have available or community input. So, you know, to say there's a certain pattern or trend, as they have found in their research, there's really not. You know, there's pre-K to 6 models, pre-K to 8 models. There is grade spans, like I'll discuss in a moment. So they really, there's no decipherable trend, if you will. But that's why they have to dig so deeply into what they're seeing.
And it probably also has to do with the size of the community, the makeup of the community, historical, you know, geographic probably, whether it's rural, urban, suburban. There's probably so many different factors to figure in.
Yeah, there's, you know, and so much of the work is really, you know, they have many different grade span models that were explored during the restructuring study last year. The one that rises to the top the most, I'm not saying that will be the recommendation, but is a pre-K to 2 model, 3 through, I'm sorry, pre-K to 1 model, a 2 through 4 school, 5, 6, 7, 8, and then 9 through 12. That model works the best with our physical plant structure.
Okay.
Not to indicate that that will be the recommendation, but there are several other models we're exploring. One is keeping our sixth graders in an elementary school model at an existing elementary school. The issue with that is, you know, there is certainly a state aspiration at the Department of Elementary Education and even with the governor to have universal pre-K. And if we were to retain sixth graders in our elementary schools, universal pre-K would not be possible.
Just wouldn't fit.
There's just not enough room.
Yeah.
And that's with keeping all of the elementary buildings that we currently have, which, you know, in my opinion, my humble opinion, you know, looking down a number of decades, if you will, it is not fiscally possible to keep 8 elementary schools with the revenue we currently have in the city, and I would assume in the future. It's just not.
Yeah, and that's the other side of the scale, right, is you're trying to work out the educational priorities and means, and of course that's always number one priority, but on the other side of the scale is what the community can afford, what our tax rates are like, how many buildings you keep online, and each one of those buildings has a cost, especially older buildings, right? So I'm sure that there are lots of considerations there. And of course, the idea that we have many fewer students today than we had, let's say, 40 years ago when
had
the same number of buildings.
Yes.
So that I would think that all figures in, not to mention the fact that there are greater responsibilities on the school today, 40 years later, than we had 40 years ago, right?
Yeah, it's always an interesting discussion because certainly, you know, looking back 4 decades, our population has changed dramatically. But the needs of the students have, too. And those needs, such as counseling services, reading intervention, physical therapy, occupational therapy, those all need spaces. And those services in mass just really didn't exist four decades ago.
Right. And the buildings weren't designed for it
either. Yeah, they weren't designed. Even the renovated buildings, the elementary schools that were renovated roughly 25 years ago now, they don't have those spaces at all. So there's, you know, there's many spaces that have been, you know, old classroom spaces that have been converted into service providers. But, you know, when we were going through the restructuring study, the firm that conducted it for us, and this was recently presented to the school building needs, that if we were to make an attempt to keep all of the buildings we currently have roughly $500 million would have to be invested in those schools to modernize them. That's a figure that's available publicly.
Wow.
And we can
that's an eye-opening number.
Yeah, we can only imagine that we probably cannot afford that.
Right.
So we do have to make some changes and some difficult decisions as our city evolves.
And, of course, you know, we're not an island unto ourselves here. As we see, there was a newspaper article just in the Berkshire Eagle this morning about the Berkshire Hills Regional School District dealing with the rebuild of a high school, Monument Mountain, and whether, you know, they've gone through a couple of runs at that. I know I've talked to some folks about that issue as well.
Mm-hmm.
Not easy down there. Taxpayers have rejected it a couple times, and yet the school just keeps getting older and older and needs more renovations. And if you don't choose to work with the Mass School Building Authority to usually build a brand new school, more and more of the load of the cost of the building is going to be directly on local taxpayers.
Yeah, and we, as you can imagine, we simply could not build, in my opinion at least, build a school building without their cooperation, the Massachusetts School Building Authority.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when we often talk about how much Taconic took to build, keeping in mind that was a number of years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And construction costs have skyrocketed since. So that $120 million that people often cite when they talk about Taconic, that would be so much more now. And
I couldn't even imagine. Right?
Even in the article with Monument Mountain, you saw some estimations there, and they exceed what we paid to build Taconic in some circles.
Yeah.
So.
Well, what do they say? The best time to build a new building 2 years ago?
Yeah,
the next
absolutely.
Best time right now?
Yeah, it's and, you know, we are very hopeful that Massachusetts School Building Authority is having their board meeting, I believe, on December 13th. Mm. Don't quote me on that date. So we're very hopeful that the Pittsfield Public Schools proposal will be on that agenda and we'll receive news.
That would be great news. Yes. It would be quite a nice Christmas present.
It would be fantastic.
Although, of course, that also means that that's when the work starts, right?
Yes, we would have roughly
a major project.
Yeah, roughly 270 days. And, you know, one of the discussions we had when we had the joint meeting with the school committee, city council, and school building needs is that part of this process, if the city elects to be a part of it, if they approve, is a substantial study, a viability and feasibility study that the city would have to pay for up front. It is fully reimbursable. So that'll be a decision our elected officials will have to make if we are accepted into the project pipeline.
All right. So step by step, we'll see what happens.
Step by step.
Some big news, I'm sure, coming down the road on all of these things. And again, stay tuned, I would say, for the public hearings and things that will happen with the grade realignment. I'm sure that as that goes along, the timeline for that, when do you expect the school committee to be able to have all the facts to be able to make a decision and change that for potentially next school year?
Yeah, that is the school committee's desire is to have a middle school set of changes for this coming fall. So they will have all the recommendation and all research information from the committee. We are timelining at the end of January or at the very latest, the very beginning of February. Mm. So at that, you know, there is, as you know, there's a February vacation in there. But I would anticipate that during the month of February, there will be much public deliberation by the school committee. And every community member will have the opportunity to speak at the public portion. But, Sean, I just want to remind everyone, we will have those surveys that will be released this weekend. And we're going to have focus groups in areas across our city, too, in-person focus groups. So we'll well advertise those and invite people to those as well.
That's great. So keep an eye out for those inboxes, folks, and participate in those surveys. Make your voice heard, and all that data will be crunched together, and we'll hopefully have some good decisions coming up. Superintendent Joseph Curtis, thank you so much for being here this
sorry
morning.
Thank you. Sorry for being late.
No, it's been great, and thanks for all your work and getting everything going today. I'm sure it was a crazy thing.